Hi, this is Daniel Bowman, and you're listening to the FSF Podcast.
Welcome to the FSF Podcast, guys. I'm Tim. I'm your host. Today, I am all by myself. There's no Kathleen. There's no Ben. And so our gracious guest is going to have to put up with me in a solo action. But our guest today, the reason why we wanted him here is because, well, he's been an actor that's been in The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Ahsoka series, and Star Wars, playing over on the Disney Plus series, show. So, I'm sure you've seen him. I know you've seen him. You know you've seen him. You definitely saw him, but the thing is, you probably didn't see this. You didn't see his face. That's because he's a performance artist playing the roles of droids in the shows. Blue C-3PO? Yeah, that was him. I call him Blue P.O., but I'm sure there's a really cool name that I just didn't catch on to. But yeah, that's today's guest. That is Daniel Bowman. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for doing this and sitting down with us. And we've had a lot of fun talking with people who have been in the shows and talking. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so this is always like kid in a candy store day for me when I get to talk to somebody who's been in the things that make me so happy in life. So I am excited always to sit down and talk to people about Star Wars in general. I'm even more excited to sit down and talk with somebody who's actually been part of the shows. So let's start off the interview in the right way. I would like to know more about your background. So let's dive into the origin story, your origin story with the galaxy far, far away. What was your entry point into the Star Wars fandom, and what keeps you coming back as a fan?
My entry point, I was not around when the first movie came out, but I do remember when I was very young, Return of the Jedi came out. And that, okay. And I was already immersed in the Star Wars universe before that, because my brothers and I all had Star Wars action figures. So I don't have any recollection of seeing the original two movies in the theaters. I may have, I'm not even sure. Or at least Empire. But I do remember Return of the Jedi coming out. And so that was kind of, that was a pivotal moment for me. And then by the mid 80s, they started having behind the scenes where they would show all the masks and all the creatures and all the artists working on it. And it blew my mind. I had no idea that people did that. I'm 7 years old, whatever, at this point. And yeah. What keeps me coming back, it's funny. Star Wars ended when I was 5 years old, as far as all of us knew, with Return of the Jedi. And then, so when you're a kid, years are a different span, right? So it ended from 83 to 97 when they came back out in the theaters. And then 99, the prequels came out. But for a long time there, for my whole childhood, it seemed like it was gone. And so It kind of felt like a dead thing that I was hanging on to for a while, but now it's, back in the zeitgeist again. But it keeps me coming back because the story is always so, it's just a timeless adventure story, and the characters. Mm-hmm. A lot of people gravitate to the Jedi and the Force, and I think I gravitate more to the whole entire encompassing universe, the ideas behind it. So, yeah. Can't get enough.
Yeah, I agree. I'm one of the ones who I like the outlying story. The Jedi are cool. The Sith are cool. I like the idea of Force users. And I'm never shy away from a cool lightsaber battle, but I like knowing the stories of the people. And I think that's probably why I liked the Andor series so much, was that it talked about the people and there wasn't a Force user in sight. It was a story about the people and what they were going through and their struggles and all those things. So I think for me, that was one of the reasons why I liked that series so much. So I had a similar experience with Star Wars growing up, because now I was born in 76. The movie came out in 77. So I was too young, obviously, I could have seen it in the theater. I have no clue. I've never actually asked my mom I don't think we did. She's not really the Star Wars type. So I don't think that she would have taken me to go see that. But yeah. I do remember going, the first movie I remember in Star Wars is Return of the Jedi. And I have a lot of really cool memories, because I was about 8 when that came out. And so I've got some cool memories of going to see that and, you know, seeing people going to the movies dressed up and, you know, and all those type of things. And so, yeah, to this day, Empire is still my favorite movie of all time, not just of Star Wars, but of all time, because I've watched that movie so many times. It's just kind of like, you know, burned into the old brain cells at this point.
Right.
But so sometime back, we had Chris Bartlett on the show, and we got to talking with Chris and found out that he was a cosplayer to start. And that's kind of how he was able to parlay that into his role, you know, as C-3PO and other droids in some of these Star Wars series shows. So how did you catch the attention of Lucasfilms to be able to get into the shows and do what you do for them?
Well, I think about 2016, 2017, my friend Tim Martin approached me about doing a Star Wars short film with him. I had just moved to California. I was born in San Diego, but I just moved back in 2013. And so movies were not a realistic goal. They were always in my mind, but I had no way of getting there. You know, I was in Virginia and I was in Detroit, and that wasn't reality there. But when I moved back to LA, sure. I started getting involved in production stuff. And I was doing some set building. I met my friend Tim Martin, and he wanted to direct a short film. And then I said, sure, I'll be involved, whatever you want. Let's build some sets. Let's have some fun. And then we had a mutual friend, Jeff, who had a C-3PO costume. And he said, hey, do you want to be a droid? I said, yeah, of course. So it was pretty much that easy. And my history with Star Wars, the original movie, is... I don't remember coming out. I was born in 78, but I would always go over to a friend's house and we would play with action figures and we would put on the movie on their beta tape and it would play. And the original movie, the first 20 minutes or so, is all about the droids. They're the main characters. Yeah. And so I always had that burned into my mind, how they moved and what they did. So anyway, Tim cast me in his short film. And then that became a pretty big success. I met Chris Bartlett right as we were wrapping up that film. And he watched the film with us when it came out. And shortly thereafter, he was cast in The Mandalorian. And then when they needed more than one droid, he came to me first because he saw what I could do. And we'd become friends for years at that point. So, yeah. So it was really just through Chris. Cool. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. All right. Yeah, well, sometimes it's more important that, you know, who you know versus what you know or what you can do, because, you know, sometimes the who you know can get what you can do in front of other people. And so that,
right.
That's all about visibility. Cool opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. So out of the characters that you have played in the Star Wars, you know, on screen and in the different Star Wars series, is there a favorite one that you go, you know, every time it comes up, yep, hey, that's me. I did that. That's me. Or is it just everyone that you've done? Cause I think for me, it'd be everyone. I'm like, yep. That's me. That's me. Oh, that's me again. I'm over here. So.
Yeah, it's definitely everyone, but making Birth of a Monster with Tim was special, and it was, you know, 110 degrees and we were out in Death Valley and we had a lot of fun and it was crazy. But the first day when I got cast in Obi-Wan Kenobi was definitely a special moment. I played the chrome droid that is Princess Leia's butler, or, you know, serving Leia's crumpets to her. And then she says thank you, and her cousin kind of tells her off, like, don't talk to lower life forms.
Right, yeah.
And when I got on set and I got all dressed up, and this is 6 a.m. and my heart's, you know, my head's pounding and what's going on? I'm in Star Wars. This is not real. But I got on set, and then Deborah Chow walks over to me, and I'm all in costume except for the head. And Deborah comes up and says, hey, Daniel, this is Vivian. I want to introduce you. You're going to be working together. Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. And all I was thinking is, oh, cool. There's going to be kids on set. That's fun. And I had no idea who it was, because they don't tell you anything if you don't need to know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so it was maybe an hour or two into filming when I actually overheard the line from the cousin, "You're not a real Organa." And I went, "Oh, that's Princess Leia." And so that was kind of a moment for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's a great story. Yeah, because I would imagine that you would have had, they would have kept that pretty under wraps until it needed to be known who she was. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Okay. Yeah. All right, so thinking of your characters that you've played, so I called him Blue Pio. Is there an actual name for the blue version of C-3PO? And did I miss it somewhere?
There's no actual name as far as Lucasfilm is concerned. It was the Blue Protocol Droid, but
right.
The man who built the blue droid that inspired that character was a cosplayer in the UK, and he's passed away now, unfortunately. But he named that character RG-255, and so that's what I'm going with because he was the creator of that color of droid. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great name. I mean, it's unfortunate that he had to pass away, but I think that's a great way to honor him by calling the droid by that name. That's fantastic. So I will no longer call him Blupio. I will call him RG. Okay. Yeah, I will address him properly from this moment forward when I see him on RG-255. Okay. Very cool. Now, you know, you mentioned a short film that you know that you did with your friend Tim Martin, but now you also act and produce another short film called The Sands of Fate, which I was able to watch on YouTube. It's only about, I think it's about 25, 26 minutes long. And I was hoping that you could tell our audience a little bit about it. I know I've watched it, but, you know, why should they be checking out Sands of Fate and, you know, giving that a positive review on YouTube?
Sands of Fate, well, Birth of a Monster, first of all, was Tim's first Star Wars film. And he ended up working on the Star Wars TV shows as well, doing special effects. He's been special effects for 20 plus years. And so we did this kind of as a love letter to the original Star Wars. And this was before the TV shows were even announced. We thought, again, Star Wars was over. It was after... Was it right in the middle of the new set of movies? I'm not sure. But, or maybe right. Anyway. But then Sands of Fate, people really responded well to Birth of a Monster. They really liked it and they considered it canon. But what I like about what Tim does is he takes, just like you were saying, he takes kind of side characters and gives them a story arc and gives them a reason for being and some interest around it. And so Birth of a Monster, it's actually, they're both kind of Return of the Jedi related stories around that time period. But it's just, Sands of Fate is a faster paced one than the first one. And we had a little more of a budget. And Chris Bartlett actually plays a few characters in that as well. And we built that all, shot it. And that was in the middle of COVID. So everything got delayed. Everything got, you know, everyone had to be safe and everyone had to consider what are we doing? What are we not doing? Okay, what can we work on now? And so it took a long time to get through. And when everything is, you know, everything is kind of a volunteer basis, people are putting their time in. It takes a while to come out. But the story is very, it's a different take on characters. How do I put this? Well, I don't even know where to go with that. Yeah, I mean, well, you know what I'm saying.
I do, yeah. I thought that, you know, because one of my concerns always going into to the short films or as some call them fan films is that the stories won't be fleshed out very well and the characters are going to be underdeveloped because there's only so much time and everything. But I do think that for Sands of Fate, number one, the special effects are some of the best that I've seen. The visual effects that you're seeing are some of the best, especially when you're coming in and you're looking over the sands, and there's all these ships flying into the town and everything. It's a really cool visual effect there, and just it's really attention grabbing because I'm going, wow, this is better than some TV shows I've seen, you know. And so yeah, that was amazing. And then I thought that the characters were very well developed, and the story was, like you said, here's a character. Yeah. You've got this story about somebody you've never heard of that you never, and here it is, and it's all laid out. And there's that little twist at the end makes you kind of think. I don't want to give it away because just in case somebody's going to go watch it, and you should go watch it. It's a really cool Star Wars short. But there's a really cool twist at the end, and I thought, man, that opens up. Okay, so we are going to talk about it. Well, actually, we'll make this bonus content, John. Right there, bonus content. That's it. It's a really cool film, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we had some fun. We built all the sets in my garage, just like I say garage, but it's like a warehouse. And same with the first one.
Okay.
But all the bunker set that was in my garage, we built the staircase, we built everything. We built where the band was playing, Max Rebo and Slice Noodles. That was all a set in my garage. And so, yeah, done a lot of fun projects like that. And in that, I got to play Hammerhead. And I also, I sculpted, here he is right here. Hammerhead was right behind me. So I sculpted that out of white styrofoam. And then I also played Max Rebo. So... yeah.
Excellent. All right. Now, in addition, you mentioned that you sculpted it there. So this is a great lead into my next question. Look at you setting me up. Now, in addition to being a performance artist, actor, you're also an accomplished artist with drawing and sculpting, as you mentioned, and use of other mediums. So do you have a favorite medium that you prefer to work with? And if so, what is it?
I don't know that I have a favorite anymore. I think I've become very versatile. So I've been drawing since before my recollection, just with pencils and whatever I could find. But professionally, I've been a sculptor for 20 years, actually in car design. So okay. I've worked with oil-based clay a lot. And then I'm a painter with acrylics and oils, but I don't do that too frequently. But I also do metal fabrication and styrofoam and anything I can build. Yeah.
Okay. Anything you can get your hands on. All right. All right. So, okay, instead of favorite medium, do you have a favorite subject that you like to draw or sculpt or something along those lines?
I think for a while it was cars, and that led me into the car design career. But before that, it was monsters, it was spaceships, it was things that you probably could have found in the cantina, or transports from Star Wars or something like that. I think, yeah, creatures and ships and sci-fi stuff. So this is all kind of in my wheelhouse.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. So yeah, so... you know, I asked you earlier, we kind of talked about this, for a couple minutes about the things that keep you coming back. Now, you know, for me, the thing that kept me coming back or keeps me coming back is the continuation of story. I mentioned how I like to see how stories are played out and how things affect different people. So, but now, you know, the things that you have done in the Star Wars universe thus far, outside of your art, has been with the droids. So is it practical to think that there's an opportunity for droid-driven stories where, you know, there's more in that vein in Star Wars?
Well, I hope so. So I don't know if you're... There was a cartoon in the 80s about the droids, and I remember that somewhat. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. But there was also... do you remember the books on tape? The you can read along with me in your book, and R2-D2 would beep, and you turn the page. I think there was a droid story with that one as well. I don't want to give anything away, but when we were on set for Mandalorian season 3 in the droid bar, that was pretty exciting. Chris and I had a blast there because we were surrounded by 40, 50 other droids. So that was probably the biggest collection of droids in any Star Wars anything. And I would love to see more of that personally.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be necessarily about the droids. I just like to see, I like when Star Wars feels like a bigger universe than what we're currently in. And part of that is there's a lot of robots. There's a lot of aliens. When it's all people, it's not as much fun for me. Cause then it's like, oh, it's a drama about people. You know, I want to see things from another galaxy. So yeah, I hope there's room for more droids, but I've played more characters than I've gotten credit for, which is sometimes the way it goes, but also more characters than even you can see on the screen. So things get lost in the cut sometimes, but I did get to play one alien creature in Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan runs right by me, and you know, you can see me, I'm a blur, but you know, it was no major character. But I would love to play anything, aliens, droids. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember too in the, yeah, it was Clone Wars. There was the R2, there was like a story arc there with R2-D2 and his little army of droids, and they weren't going out and doing missions and things. I think it was like three or four episodes that they focused on that, this little story arc, and had this little generals about yay big, you know, always riding on top of R2-D2 and barking out orders and all that kind of stuff. It was just kind of interesting little storyline. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about, you know, because between that and the Mandalorian, like you mentioned, all those droids, and there was all the, you know, all the refitted B2 battle droids doing all these mundane tasks. And, you know, I liked the concept that they were all going to a bar after work to just kind of to blow off steam and get new oils and, you know, all these kind of things. That was very amusing to me that the droids needed to relax.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, you know, are they exchanging stories about the people they're working around, or what are we doing as droids, you know?
Well, yeah, because I mean, you know, when people go to a bar after work, they're complaining about their boss or their job, what they were doing that day, you know, what they got to do tomorrow, those kind of things. So, you know, what were the droids talking about? That would be kind of a fun episode to dive into, to go back to and just kind of see that storyline kind of get exploded a little bit and see what was happening in there. I would think that to be fun, because I too enjoy the, when the stories are not so human centric and we see the different alien species and all these different things. And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited about the Ahsoka series, because we went to a different galaxy and there's going to be new creatures and there's going to be new things and stuff. So I'm very excited to hopefully see a continuation of that in season two of Ahsoka, with more on Peridia and all the different things that are happening there. So yeah, excellent. All right, Daniel, we've gotten to a point where we like to ask a question of people. We call this our silly question, because we got to a point as people where you get to a certain age and people just stop asking you this, and we think it's a crying shame. You should always be asked this. Daniel Bowman, what's your favorite dinosaur?
My favorite dinosaur? I'm going to go with Dimetrodon. So he's a guy with a big sail on his back. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I actually know who that is now that you explained it. Thank you. I didn't think about that for a second. Mine is the Triceratops, because I was always a big fan of rhinos as a kid. And so, you know, Triceratops is a triple rhino. So I always thought it was really cool. But that was it for me.
Nice.
He's not a Triceratops. He's a triple rhino. So. All right, Daniel, thank you so much for being on our show today. Where can our listeners go to find out more about you, your work, your art, and other things?
I am on Instagram. I guess that's the place to go to find out about me. I will be at various conventions. You'll find out about it on Instagram. I am Daniel Bowman _art, I believe. And yeah, I think that's about it. But yeah, go watch Sands of Fate. It's a great short film. and let us know what you think. Let us know if it's not great. But so far, it's been pretty positive reviews.
It's great. You go ahead and give it a thumbs up when you watch it. It's great. Yeah, it's okay. Cool. And we'll make sure that we link your Instagram contact information down in the show notes down below, so people can go check you out and follow you and come find out more about you at the cons and different things like that. So, and remember too, guys, that subscribing is the most important thing you can do to help our show continue to grow, get amazing guests like Daniel Bowman today to come in and have these conversations with and learn more about what happens behind the scenes on our favorite TV shows and movies. So we want to thank Daniel for being here, and please subscribe not only to our show by clicking the like button and then that little subscribe button down there, do the thing, you'll be happy, but also go check out Daniel on Instagram as well. He's got some really cool artwork on there, and he's got, you know, set pictures and all kinds of stuff that he's done. It's a fun stroll down Instagram lane if you go over and check them out over there. So make sure that you check out Daniel's work as well. So again, Daniel, thank you for coming on the show. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to the FSF Podcast. Goodbye.
Copyright 2024 FSF Podcast. Reference any specific product or entity mentioned on this podcast does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by FSF Podcast. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact us via email at info@fsfpopcast.com.